I'm Camille Joy, the host of the Moments of Joy podcast. This podcast is dedicated to super moms that don't always feel so super, trauma victims that need an example of how God can bring you through, and for those of you that are looking for a little joy. Welcome to the show.
I need the joy.
Welcome to another episode of the Moments of Joy podcast. This episode of the Moments of Joy podcast has been brought to you by The Joy Stick. I met this amazing young woman. Her name is Joy Stokes out of Atlanta, Georgia, and she created an invention. The Joy Stick is an essential tool for every type of digital content creator. It's a device that holds two or more mobile phones or tablets, allowing you to stream and record hands-free from multiple devices at one time. It's lightweight, it's portable, it can go anywhere that you go, it's professional looking, and you can get all types of angles. If you are interested in the joystick, I want you to log on to joystick.com. Now that's J-O-I-S-T-I-K. And check her out on Instagram at joystick. Welcome back, guys, to another episode of the Moments of Joy podcast. I'm so excited this week to share with you a special message that I had. I had the opportunity this week to be a guest speaker for the Loving Me Academy's film conference. And I got that recording and it was so good that I wanted to share it here on the podcast with you guys. It's about wailing women. Now, before we get into that episode, I want you to do me a favor. If you're listening on the podcast app on Apple, please leave us a review. Reviews are very important. You can never rate and review this podcast, you know, enough or too much. More than one review is fine and welcomed, but just like you would comment on social media, comments on this podcast platform are very much needed. And so I want to thank you in advance for doing that. Thank you to the MVPs. You guys press play on every episode. You share the podcast. You connect with me on social media, and you guys are just a true part of this community. And without you guys, there would be no show, right? So thank you guys again for tuning in, and I hope that you enjoy this message. So it is so nice to be here with you all today. As Janelle shared, my name is Camille Joy. That is the legal middle name my mom gave me, but Joy has been something that has followed me all of my life, even through the hard times. The Lord never let me wallow in that place of sorrow, but he allowed me to have joy even in the hard times. And so today we're going to get right into love to wholeness, because that is our topic for tonight. So as I was taking a look at our paper here that we have, and just going over the scripture tonight, the Lord gave me a two-step. So we're going to go from the woman with the issue of blood, and we're going to go over to the wailing women. And so when he gave me that, I didn't fully understand, but as I hear the stories and I sense what's in this atmosphere, I know that it's a time for us to wail. And so we hit the first point. Coming up behind Jesus, she touched the fringe of his robe. Immediately, the blood stopped. The woman went from broken to whole. So wholeness is not an immediate journey. So what issues have you identified? Have you made your identity, right? What are some things that you've experienced that you've taken and allowed to fill up your space in your mind? Just like the woman with the issue of blood, her loss at a time defined her. What have you what loss have you had that you've allowed to define you? What loss have you been through that other people have defined as you? From your childhood to your adulthood, a few of you have already spoken on that today, but I want to encourage you not to allow any issue to become imprinted in your DNA of who you are. Once it tries to imprint, it's false, because your DNA has already been made in heaven and through God. So those things that the enemy sends, those false burdens that he gives us, those experiences that we go through, and he wants them to become who we are, they're already a lie from hell. And so how does God see us? How does God see you? How does he address you? I just want to engage you guys for a minute. So three of you, how does God see you? Andrea, because you're right in the middle of my screen here. How does God see you?
God sees me whole, he sees me happy, and he sees me loved.
That's right. All right, next, I will have Crystal. Crystal, how does God see you?
I see me resilient. He sees me as his child. He sees me as whole. Yeah.
Yes, that's right. And Faith, how does God see you, my sister? I don't know if you could talk, but if not, I'll go to Alicia. Alicia, if I said that right, how does God see you?
He sees me as loved. He sees me as being enough. Mm-hmm. And he sees me as being courageous.
Yes, all of that. God sees us as all of that. He sees us as all of that. He sees us in a whole state already. Even though there are parts of us that may be broken through times in our life, God never sees us as that. He sees us whole, in the whole state already. And though it is something that by our flesh we have to walk through, God already sees us in it. So even through our issue, God sees his daughters as whole. I love to say this saying about God, and it is, God don't play about his daughters. I like to think we are his favorite, right? Yes, we know he likes the men. We know he loves both Adam and Eve and all the men and the women. But God does not play about his daughters and his children. We are special to him. How do we walk out this wholeness? I believe that it is time to wail. It is time to wail. The Lord brought to me the women, the wailing women, as I was praying about tonight and loving us and being loved to wholeness. With the women with the issue of blood, her issue caused her to be in a place of separation and isolation. When you really understand what was going on during that time, she was bleeding from her vagina for 12 years. This gave her an odor, and not only gave her an odor, but a reputation that, no, she couldn't have children. No, she was unwanted. She couldn't be married. And that was really what gave them identity back then. The way that we get to know Christ now and through the Holy Spirit and through relationship where we know him and who we are, they didn't have that as of yet, because Jesus didn't die on the cross yet. She touched the hem of his garment. So she was bleeding nonstop and isolated. And I can imagine that her self-esteem was very low, to the point where she hit the ground, right? But she knew enough to crawl into his presence and to just, if she could just touch the hem of his garment, that she would be made whole. I imagine that she allowed this to become her identity. not just because of what she felt, but because of others around her. They forced her into isolation where she had to live alone. She couldn't even live and be around her family. Because of her odor, she had to be alone. That breeds depression, right? That breeds suicidal thoughts. So for 12 years, I could imagine that she was at her wit's end. But she had a press. She had a press just enough. If I could just press my way into the presence of God. I don't even know that she knew she would touch his hem, but let me just try. I don't even know if she knew she would be healed, but that's when her faith kicked in, that if I could just reach for him, maybe this time I'll be healed. So I believe, ladies, that God wants you to reach for him in a way that maybe you have never before. God wants you to wail for him in a way that you have never before, to receive your wholeness. To receive your wholeness. We are virtuous women, according to Proverbs. We are helpers, helpmates, according to Genesis. We are adored by God, according to Timothy. God is in our midst, according to Psalms. We carry strength, courage, and wisdom. That is what the word says about women. And so as we begin to go into the wailing women, I did a little research on who these women were. So this is going to come out of Jeremiah 9, 17 to 20, to 21. This is what the Lord of Heaven's army says. Consider all those, and I'm reading out of the NLT. Consider all this and call for the mourners. Some translations say the wailing women. Send for the women who mourn at their funerals. Quick, begin your weeping. Let the tears flow from your eyes. Hear the people of Jerusalem crying in despair. They are ruined. They are completely humiliated, and we must save our land because our homes have been torn down. Listen, you, O women, to the words of the Lord. Open your ears to what he has to say. Teach your daughters to wail. Teach one another how to lament. And when I looked up lament, it meant to professionally wail. This was a profession of them. In doing research, the wailing women were called on because this was their job. They were paid to walk alongside those that were grieving at funerals and those that have gone through loss. And because many men and many women in that time could not show their emotion, they would do it for them. So tonight, I believe that in this atmosphere with all of these women, God is calling us to be the wailing women. For those that would cry out for their sister that cannot cry out. That's what I felt what was happening as these women begin to release. The wailing is being stirred up within them already. God was already preparing you with Taylor for what he would do tonight. He will continue the process of your deliverance and your press to him for your wholeness. That's what he's doing tonight. That is what he's doing. And so these women were called upon because Jerusalem was in a hot mess. The Lord had spoken ruins over them. And so the Lord, it says, this is what the Lord of Heaven's army said. He told them to call upon the wailing women because these were women who already had got an heir to heaven's throne. They already had a relationship with God. He knew who they were. He identified their prayers and their voices and their wails. A wail doesn't even have to have words, but it's, oh! They cried out. They let the tears flow. So don't worry about fancy words in this season. The Lord is calling you to wail. And as you have your partners, you let the tears flow with your accountability partner. And if you have a sister who has it all bottled up, you wail for her. You be, because it said, teach your daughters how to wail. That is what they did. In generations, they taught the women after them to wail, to continue this profession of being professional wailers, wailing women. These women were trained and paid. They were the ones who were the voices of pain and expression for those that were lost. So what are you wailing for today? Who are we going to wail for that can't wail for themselves yet? My wailing experience was emerged when I experienced great loss. I was 24 years old, or somewhere around there. In 2011, I entered into a custody battle. So I had a child at 16. I had four children by the time I was 21, and I was in an abusive relationship, and I made the decision to leave. I got strength enough to leave, and I did. And when I left, it was turmoil because he couldn't control me anymore, so he tried to control me through the children. And so we entered into this custody battle in 2011, and he was granted full custody of three of my children. And so that knocked the wind out of me. It wasn't because of anything that I did wrong. It wasn't because the authorities came in and took him, my children. I found myself on the other side, on the wrong side of the system. And so that is where my wail came in. And I'm just putting my other headphone in because my toddler is crying. If y'all hear him, excuse him. It's bedtime. And my husband has to deal with him. And so through that, that is where my wailing was birthed, because I had one child left in my home, and I was a single mom, and I would drop him off to my mom's house every day after work at 6 p.m. when I got off, and I would get into bed, and I would cry, and I would tell the Lord that I wanted to die. What was the point? My home went from being so joyful to now it's empty, and I lost to my abuser, the one that said nobody's ever going to want you, the one that said you're never going to be nothing. After I left, I was tormented so that I wanted to take my own life, that I had a plan to do so. But then I said, you know what? I can't allow this to take me out. So I called on my mother, who wailed for me when I couldn't wail for myself. I had no words to put together to pray because I didn't want to live. I was done. But what I did say was, in my tears and feeling defeated, was, Mom, can you pray? And that is exactly what she did. She wailed for me. She cried out for me until I was able to press through myself and to receive my healing. My mom wailed for me. So moms, wail for your daughters when they can't wail for themselves. Even if you are still waiting on the Lord to bless your womb with a child, God is not confined by time. He's already there with your child. So you wail for them. God is back. He's there. He's everywhere. We are confined by man's time, not him. He's already there. Your womb is blessed. Your child is already in God's hands. So you wail for your daughters. And that is where I got the strength to now take those tears and wail. And I began to tell the enemy I was not going to die here. That, yep, it was embarrassing. It was humiliating, because when you say that to people, they think, well, what did she do? You know, well, it had to be something that she did. No, it was nothing. I was young. I was emotional. He had money. He had a lawyer, and I didn't. So I was in a weak position in the enemy's eyes. But God used that very thing, and we triumphed over the enemy. So even still today, I'm not fully restored, but you can't tell, because the joy of the Lord is my strength. My God, hey God, and the enemy will never break me, and he will never break miraculously told me to go home last month. So I relocated. First of all, I went 9 years without being fully restored with them. We went progressively, you know, a little while I would see them. Sometimes I wouldn't because he would still use them as leverage. And so about 3 years ago, God began to fully restore. But then he called me to relocate. So I would say, God, I'm not going without my children. And God said, you're going to go and you're going to trust me. And we got here. About 4 months after we got here, God called me to shut down everything on social media. I shut down everything. I deactivated my pages, and I just got into a place of consecration. And he said, I want you to go back to Connecticut for 3 weeks. So I told my husband that God said, you know, because I don't say that often, he trusts that God said, I need to go home on a one-way ticket. I brought my toddler. We went home, and 3 days after I got there in February of 2020, it was a domestic violence dispute in my children's home involving my youngest son and his stepmother. 3 days after I touched down in Texas. Now, here's another miraculous part of it. Going there, going back home, I said, Lord, I wanna feel a difference. I want you to show me in this atmosphere, in the air, what is happening. Because I hear people saying that as they fly on planes. Lord, I want to experience that. I asked him that. He said, you're going from Texas to Connecticut, and you're going in big authority. That's why I brought you to a state that was so big, so that you could begin to be big, that you could begin to receive who you are. I got off the plane, and I saw immediately Prophet Apostle Matthew Stevenson. And I was like, oh, Lord, if you don't know him, he is an amazing teacher in the faith, in the gospel. And I was like, oh, my goodness. And because I had a shirt that said Jesus on, he got up and greeted me. And I knew I was going in big authority. 3 days after I got to Connecticut, I ended up getting immediate custody of my 12-year-old, who is here now. Immediate custody. He has not been back to visit. We came home 3 weeks later. The Monday we came home made 3 weeks, and there was a custody order that was put in place for him to visit, but he hadn't had to visit, because when we came home, the world got shut down. My other two are there, but they are there because they're older, and they want to be. They're okay, but I'm still believing God, because God said, they're only children for a little while, but they're going to be adults a whole lot longer. So even what your eyes can't see right now, you receive for the future. Even though they're there right now, I know my children and my grandchildren, they're going to be around me. They're going to be coming to my home for holidays. And God is not going to leave me in this place forever. No, he's not. Not when he's called me to, and he used that place to encourage me to reach out to moms. God, why would you call me to have a ministry to moms? Because I was so broken in my motherhood. It's so many stories that I could share today. So broken. But God did an amazing thing. He built me up through that wailing to be a warrior in Christ. So through what you're feeling, mamas, wail. These women heard and they were acknowledged by the Lord. He didn't say, consider the bishop. He didn't say, consider the apostle. He didn't say, consider the evangelist. He said, call upon the wailing women, because it is through your pain, through that letter that you've written down, you allow that to stir up a wailing in you to come forth. Those are the women who God is acknowledging in heaven. It's not by a title. He's not moved. He's moved by the wail that comes out of your soul. And the proof is in the word. Sometimes your training ground for a wailing woman is going to happen in your pain. It's going to happen in that push and that crawl. As you crawl to receive your wholeness, it's going to happen there. This is the training ground. That's how it happened for me. As I cried out for my life, that I needed to hold on and not kill myself because of the pain that I was feeling. So tonight, ladies, through that loss, through what you are feeling, through the emotions of going through deliverance and everything that you've experienced in life, what you've written down on that letter, turn it into a whale. Turn it into a whale. Make it your profession. Make it your profession so that other people around you know that it's Cynthia, that it's Kamita, that it's Tiffany, that it's Andrea, that it's Chanel, that it's Tiffany, that it's Chanel, that it's Alicia, that it's Antoinette that I call on, that it's Kalana, that it's Tori, that it's Pamela, that it's Vashti, that it's Tiffany, Catherine, Tanya, Amelia, Crystal, Tamika, Faith, Vanessa, that it is you that we call on when we need somebody to wail for us. It's me that they call on now. It's me that they call on for prayer. It's me. It's me. It's me. The one who hasn't even been restored yet, but it's me. It's me. It's me. Because I gave God a yes. So give God a yes, even in this pain. Even in what is being stirred up in you today. Even in that place. Even in that place of pain today. God is stirring up and he's calling forth the wailing women to wail. To wail. To wail. Because it is in that place of wailing that you will receive your wholeness. And that not only you will receive, but that your sisters will receive their wholeness. It is through you. It is through you. Yes, you. Yes, you. Yes, you. Your anointing is great enough. You don't have to be like anyone else. You don't have to flow like anyone else. The tongues don't have to flow. That's not what matters. It's the wail. It's your heart's position. And God desires to use each and every one of you. God desires to make you a whole, each and every one of you. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah.